This episode of Bear With Us is brought to you by Magic Spoon. Thank goodness I ate breakfast this morning. I am a cereal junkie, have been my entire life, but nothing gets me ready to start the day quite like a delicious bowl of my new favorite brand of cereal. Magic Spoon has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It's pretty good for you, and it's very delicious.
It's so delicious.
So many of you have asked, and finally, you can build your very own custom variety box of Magic Spoon. You can choose from the best-selling cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry flavors, plus brand new flavors, peanut butter and cinnamon. Both we just got in our new box. Unbelievable. Tastes amazing.
Peanut butter is my new favorite.
No doubt about it. It's too good to be true. It's keto-friendly. It's gluten-free. It's grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO free. GMOs, get that out of here. I edited myself because it's a commercial.
Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus to build your own custom variety box and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code BEARWITHUS, that's B-A-R-E, at checkout to get free shipping.
We want to thank Magic Spoon one more time for sponsoring Bear With Us. What is up, boys and girls, and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I am Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I am just dandy. Dandy, candy, fandy, bandy, randy.
So terrible. We're off to a very bad start.
Why? I'm great.
Are you great?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why wouldn't I be?
I don't know. It's been so long since we've actually sat beside one another to do this here podcast. I didn't know if maybe you'd, you know, just forgotten or lost all interest.
No, not at all. I am here and I am ready to party with the best of them.
It's a very important week.
It is an important week.
Well, for some, we're going to break down all things VD.
Not to be confused with venereal disease. Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Captain.
But first, I feel like we have some shit to get into. It's been a while. We spent the last week away from each other. I feel refreshed. I feel more in love because they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I think that's true.
I think that's just a bullshit thing people say when they're tired of their partner.
Maybe.
You got to spend a week away from me in the solitude of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
My little slut hut.
In the sunshine with just dicks everywhere.
Everywhere.
So many dicks.
I believe that that's what you believe in your head. That
I think
that's what happens when I go there with Bree.
There is some
that's
sort
what
of,
I think you think.
There's some weird part of my brain that's like, oh my God, the minute I close my eyes and go to bed, it is just dick city. There are just dudes that are all jacked and handsome and rich and driving fancy cars, just rolling up to the slut hut like, let's go.
Take a number, honey. I really believe you think that, like a little part of you.
I just
when
admitted
really,
to it.
When really all that happens is Brianna and I sit on the floor in the living room and braid each other's hair and drink wine and eat sushi and laugh. Like that's all we do. Or sit outside and watch the beautiful sunset. Because right now in Pittsburgh, it is fucking miserable. It's cold. It's dark. It's snowy.
It is
it's
the
dreary.
Dead
it's
of winter.
Miserable. Like I understand why people get depression. I feel like I get into a depression being here and I'm only here a couple days a week and I hate it. It makes me so mad. So then being in Florida the last week, it was chilly for Florida. It was in the 40s and 50s, which I know sounds crazy, but we're there and just sitting on my little balcony, watching the sunset, drinking some beautiful wine. Does the body and the mind good. And I'm feeling great.
We were finally reunited also in Florida last week during a work trip. And it felt so good.
It did.
Lots of sex.
Lots of sex. And see, that's what happens. When you get a little time apart, it brings you together. Can we please talk about what happened this week? When
I mean, lots of things. We got a lot to catch up on here.
So here we go. Let's start right out with the fact that I'm on the no-fly list for Southwest. That's a thing.
You should be.
long story short here, I have to go check Pancake in at the desk because he's an emotional support animal. So I have to show the letter. Mind you, you can only do this till March 1st, which every Southwest employee reminds me of every single fucking week. I'm aware that I have all of this status on Southwest because that's all we fly. So I know the rules, okay? So I'm at the counter. Pancake, when he sees another dog sometimes at the check-in counter, he gets excited. He wants to play. And when he can't get over to the dog, he barks, okay? Now, he wasn't barking uncontrollably. He let out some barks, but it wasn't anything crazy. So I said, you know what? In order to avoid a situation, I'm going to zip him up in his little bag and we'll be fine. So now I'm at the counter and he's barking a little bit because he's in his bag. Rightfully so. If someone stuffed me into a little bag, I would bark too. So now this woman comes over. Her name is Darlene. And she says, you know what, ma'am? We're not going to give you your ticket because your dog is making too much noise. So you're not going to be allowed to fly until he calms down. And I said, you know what, Darlene? If you look on my fucking status on your little computer, I fly with him all the time. It's never been an issue. He's never made a peep on the plane. He's just a little excited right now because he sees a dog and he wants to play with him. And when I was zipping him up into his little bag, he was trying to get out. So I had to like hold his head down. Mind you, he's 4 pounds. You guys have seen Pancake. He's tiny. So she goes, I hope you never take him out of that bag. He is so aggressive. I'm like, are you kidding me, bitch? He's in a bag. There's nothing he can do. He's zipped up in a bag. He can't get out. I could see if we had this huge ass, you know, Rottweiler on a leash, and then maybe he would be a threat to somebody. He's in a little bag. So I kept calling her Darlene because I knew it would piss her off. I said, you know what, Darlene? She goes, you know what, Leah? Are you going to keep being condescending to me? I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, then you know what? You're not getting your ticket. You're going to have to go over there and prove to me that Pancake can calm down and be quiet.
Is Darlene Caesar Milan on her days off? Does she know the psyche of a dog?
This pisses me off more than anything. I understand he's making some noise, but I fly all the time. I know the rules. I know, like, he's never once made a peep on the plane, ever. He's not an issue on the plane. And she said that that's what the whole issue is. If he's going to make noise on the plane, then this is a problem. And I said, you know what, Darlene? He is not going to make issues on the plane. He's not going to make noise because he flies all the time. He knows. He gets it. We get it. I'm a frequent flyer. Pancake probably flies more miles than you, Darlene. So I go over to the side. I drug my dog up with CBD.
You drugged our dog.
I drugged our dog to the point where it was enough to put a Rottweiler to sleep for 5 days. And Pancake is still awake. And I'm like, what am I going to do here? So finally, he stops barking. Matt, by the way, is returning the rental car. He's not around.
I am not present during this whole ordeal because I...
saying, hey, babe, where are you? Because normally Pancake and I are waiting for Max. It takes way longer to return the car than it does to check the dog in. So finally he calms down. I go over to the desk. And now the woman that's at the desk checking in goes, you know, some people just don't know how to control their dogs. And I'm like, excuse me, bitch. Like, do you even have a dog? You don't even know what it's like to defense? Have a dog.
You went, do you even have a dog?
Yeah, okay. Fucking Darlene's friend over here. Fuck off.
You are so,
I was
you
so
are,
pissed.
No wonder Pancake's so aggressive. Because his mother is just a...
No. So anyway, I go back. Pancake has now calmed down. I go over to the woman. I said, he's quiet now. Can I have my ticket? And she hands me my ticket. Darlene's nowhere to be seen. And I really wish I saw her because... So I have my ticket. Now I go get Matt. We went and had a Bloody Mary. All is great. All is fine. We find out our flight is boarding. Cool. We go to board the plane and I give my ticket to Greg and he was like, Miss Vandell, you're not allowed to board the plane. And I was like, excuse me? And mind you, we were like towards the end of the boarding process because we had our drinks. We didn't realize that we missed like the start of the boarding process. So I said, excuse me, Greg? He said, you're going to have to go to customer service. Mind you, I don't know if his name is Greg, but that's what we're going to call him right now. And I said, does this have anything to do with Darlene downstairs? And he said, ma'am, please go to the customer service desk. So we proceed to go over to the customer service desk. Now Pancake is awake. And now Pancake sees a dog and he is barking while we're at the customer service desk. Mind you, he had not barked at all, had not made a peep since we left Darlene downstairs.
Medically induced coma.
Yes. So now he's like, where am I? What's happening? And he lets out a few barks. And the woman at the customer service desk said, well, you know what, Miss Vandell, it says here on your little chart. And she said,
a file,
whatever it is.
You're a problematic flyer.
She says that your dog is aggressive and making too much noise. And I said, but he hasn't made a peep since we've been up here. And she said, well, he's barking right now, isn't he? And I said, that's because we're about to board the plane and Greg was being rude to his mother. So he's a little concerned. He's making a little bit of noise because he's like, I won't stand for this anymore. Luckily, I had Matt with me at this point. Matt made a big stink. He's like, I'm never flying Southwest again. And so she was like, oh, your boyfriend's hot. Here's your ticket. So it was fine. Gave us our ticket. We get on the plane. Guess what? Pancake didn't make a peep. And I have a personal mission now to ruin Darlene's life. That is my mission in life.
We've had terrible luck with Southwest Airlines.
I hate Southwest.
I never want to fly them again.
It's because they treat everyone like they are so far above their customers. Like, it's the worst customer service I've ever, ever encountered in my life.
But it's not just once. It's not like, oh, this woman that, it's not like, oh, Darlene at Southwest sucks. Everyone that works at Southwest Airlines, maybe somebody's listening to this and works there. I'm sorry, you suck. And I understand Southwest is the airline like maybe not most frequent travelers prefer. I certainly don't, but it's the only direct flight that we can get on every week right now in the middle of a pandemic. So our limits, our options are limited.
Right.
But every single person that we have encountered, no matter what city, no matter what airport.
I will say Pittsburgh Airport, the check-in counter, they're always very pleasant.
Okay, with
so let's take them
with the specific exception of Pittsburgh International Airport and their Southwest employees. Hats off to you guys for being rad. Everyone else, hate them.
Awful, especially Darlene. And I will never in my life, and I don't know what I'm going to do on Saturday when we come home. I have no idea what to do.
But I compare this, I think that it's like it's a class thing as far as like people who fly Southwest are the same people who enjoy going to Golden Corral.
But that's
fine. They're looking to save a buck, not necessarily have a great experience. No, so at Golden Corral, the chef goes, no, you only get one piece of steak at a time.
Yeah.
And they put the hammer down. And that's how Southwest is. They're like, we don't care that you have flown on our airlines more than our pilots themselves. We are treating you as though you've never seen an airplane before.
Everyone should be treated like human beings, not like the scum on the bottom of Darlene's shoe.
Do you feel better now?
Yes. Actually, I don't because I let it go, but now I'm getting worked up again. I just don't understand, but it is what it is. Let's move on before I fucking lose my mind.
To everyone who works at Southwest Airlines, with the exception of the Pittsburgh International
Airport. Go jump off a cliff.
I was just going to say have a shitty Valentine's Day, but.
Yeah. Well, I can't even imagine how they treat their partners if they treat their customers like that.
Remember when we were like, hey, let's do a really special Valentine's Day episode this week. And then you spent 25 minutes burying Southwest Airlines.
Let's get back into the mood. Let's get, say something nice to me. Put me in a good mood.
It's too late. You're obviously harboring a lot of resentment. You are still fired up.
I'm here. I'm alive and well. Life could be way worse. I'm very lucky. And I don't mean I'm exaggerating, obviously. Well, actually, I'm not exaggerating. Like, this is really what happened. But I'm just going to try to, let me just,
Since it is Valentine's week, we do have a lot to get to. We've got special guests coming up here from the hit television show Love Island. It will be interesting to chat with them and get their perspective and their Valentine's Day plans. What on the scale of importance does Valentine's Day rank for you?
As far as what is concerned,
just in general, do you look forward to put stock into think a lot about Valentine's Day?
For me, it's an excuse to have my partner plan something romantic because it's not often that's like, oh, I'm going to plan this surprise for you and do this romantic thing. So it's an excuse for me to be like, hey, how about you plan something sweet? That's what I like about Valentine's Day. I don't think it's about gifts or like, oh, you have to buy something expensive or elaborate or anything like that. I just think it's an excuse to do something romantic.
I think Valentine's Day is stupid.
You would.
I think most men think Valentine's Day is stupid. I think most women, if they step back and look at what Valentine's Day is, would realize that it is stupid. It is a Hallmark holiday that is created for no other reason than to sell greeting cards and gifts, et cetera, and experiences. Now, you know, you have to do dinner and the whole nine, which in and of itself is great. It's part of our relationship. We go out to eat all the time. We have nice meals. We spend a lot of time together doing fun things. Maybe some people need a little extra nudge, a little extra motivation. Right. But to me, it is just a trap. for guys because society has put this value on this one day that doesn't have any actual meaning. I don't even think St. Valentine was a real person. I think it was like a story or something, like St. Patrick. St. Patrick existed, but there were no snakes. Anyway, Valentine's Day to me is just an excuse for women to put an expectation on their men or your partner, regardless of what the situation is. It is an excuse to hit them with an expectation where if they don't meet that expectation, it is an excuse for a fight, for disappointment, for an argument. 364 days a year, if I go, hey, we could all 364 days go, hey, I'm going to take you to do this activity and then we're going to go get a nice dinner and then we're going to go to bed. But if I don't do it on Valentine's Day, oh God, never mind the other 364 days a year. Now, this year in particular, you have to factor in there's a goddamn pandemic. So the restaurants that are open are operating at 30 to 50.
Or maybe like most men, you wait to the last minute to book something. Where if you were thinking ahead of time, it wouldn't be the issue.
How far ahead of time is one supposed to plan for Valentine's Day? It's
at least
a month. Dinner.
At least a month.
That's ridiculous.
Maybe to you.
It is. Not maybe to me. 100% absolutely. It's fucking ridiculous. I can see if you cook dinner.
Why are you getting so angry?
I'm not getting angry at
you're
you. I'm getting
so
fired
angry.
Up. I am this because this is how much I believe that Valentine's Day is a stupid trap to cause problems in relationships, not bring people closer together. Because we're in a pandemic. Reservations in and of itself on Valentine's Day are hard to get. No matter who you are, no matter where you want to go, no matter what you want to eat, everyone and their mother goes out to dinner on Valentine's Day. Now it's a pandemic. So if everyone in America wants to go out, the 30% capacity.
It's not about going out for dinner. You could cook a dinner at home, something like cook a dinner or do something nice at home, get takeout and light candles, put little flower petals out. It's not about going out to dinner. It's about a romantic gesture. That's all.
If we didn't go out to dinner for Valentine's Day,
I would not care. If you did something romantic. See, here's the thing. If you did something romantic for me, like, quite often, then I don't think I would care about Valentine's Day. But for me, I'm like, oh, this is a good opportunity for me to say, hey, babe, how about you plan something a little romantic for us? Because it's been a while since we've done anything romantic.
Because you and most people have no idea what it is they actually fucking want to do.
Why are you getting so fucking angry?
I'm not angry. I'm
Who
saying
says
this
I don't know what I want to do. I'm asking for you to just put a thought into something. It's when's the last time we did something romantic for me? Like as far as planned a date or a night in, we're like, hey, I'm going to light a candle, get you some flowers. I'm going to order dinner. Or I'm going to make you dinner and do something that I know you would like.
We constantly have fresh flowers and candles burning in our home.
Okay, that's a lot different than making it a point to be like, okay, this is something romantic I'm going to do for my partner. There's a big difference. And it's been a while since there's been something that you've done that I'm like, oh, wow, like that really took some thought and effort into doing something like romantic and meaningful.
Right. So you have an expectation. And if I don't hit a home run,
if you did
then you're going to be like, oh,
did it more
shocking.
Often, then I wouldn't care.
What do you mean more often? We go out to eat constantly.
Yeah,
we go on dates like once a week. We are the
but
exception,
not
the rule.
Anything that you plan that you're like, oh, I'm going to surprise you and take you and do this. And
because
do
you only eat one thing
oh
off of any
God,
given
babe,
menu. I don't know. We do this.
It's not about that. It's
yes,
about
it is.
A romantic gesture. And that's all women want. And you, like most men, have a very misunderstood that you need to go out for dinner and have this big elaborate thing. No, you could put a little blanket on our living room floor and have a Lunchable with a candle and flowers. And I'll be like, oh my God. And if you maybe like got me a healthy dessert that I thought you knew I would like, and that's all I can ask for.
Anyway,
tell me I'm wrong.
You are wrong.
How am I wrong?
Because it's not that simple.
You're taking it so personal.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're an angry elf.
I'm getting angry because you're not listening to what I'm saying.
I am, though.
No, you're not. Because I'm telling you, there is way more that goes into it from the guy's end that has a potential for disaster than it is, oh, look, it's a Lunchable and a blanket. 99% of women are going to go, what the fuck is this?
But I wouldn't.
Okay, so maybe you're the exception. But generally speaking, because we are not talking to just you and I, we're talking to people who are listening to us. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to this, particularly people listening that have penises, because this is a common issue for guys. Valentine's Day has been blown so far out of proportion that if there's not something noteworthy that happens that you can put on fucking Instagram, you didn't do right.
Well, that's not what it's about, to put something on Instagram. And for all you ladies out there thinking that that's what it's about, then you need to check yourselves, because that's not about what it's to show what your man did or your partner did for you on social media. That is not what it's about.
So you mean to tell me if I was like, baby, it's Valentine's Day, I'm taking you to Eaton Park, we're going to get after that buffet, you would be like, gross.
No, because you know that I wouldn't eat that. So that would not be something that you would put my feelings into. You know that I wouldn't like that.
That's my point. No, so you just contradicted yourself.
My point is putting thought and effort to something you know that the other person would like. That's what you do for your partner.
So why would you not? I may not do it as frequently as you would like, but that's not something that's like foreign. It's not like, oh, we never spend time.
Of course.
So you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
Matt.
You are.
No, I'm not.
I think Valentine's Day is a trap. It's a pitfall.
Well, then you know what? Let's not celebrate it ever again.
Thank you for illustrating
my
point.
Let's not celebrate it ever again. If it's a trap, you don't like it.
There it is.
That's what
it is. Yeah, you just illustrated my point for me.
Great. You're welcome.
I guess I can cancel those plans.
Let's go on to our guests.
Attention, bear with us listeners. We interrupt your regularly scheduled broadcast with some huge news. This is your chance to be part of the first ever live Bear With Us podcast recording.
Saturday, February 27th at the PA Market in their wine library in the Strip District. If you're in Pittsburgh, you're not going to want to miss it. 7 to 9 p.m. Get in on the fun. It's presented by Cop O'Connor. We're going to have some amazing cocktails,
drink specials, everything socially distant. It will be safe. It will be fun. If you got a partner, bring them along. If you're single, come by yourself. Maybe you'll meet the love of your life. Probably not, but if nothing else, we'll have a great time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss it. First come, first serve. Limited spots available because we're trying to be safe, but we're going to have a lot of fun, so do not miss it. Head on over to the Bear With Us Instagram, and we will get all the details over to you. Don't miss it.
If you're in the greater Pittsburgh area, yes, that means Ohio. Yes, that means New York. It gives you an excuse to jump in your car, come hang out with us, have a great time. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this. Hopefully it rules. But if it's a colossal failure, it'll make for a fun story. Head over to the Instagram, Twitter, or the mailbag at Bear With Us Pod, P-O-D, and stay tuned for all the details. It is our honor and pleasure to welcome in some very special Valentine's Week guests here on Bear With Us from the hit show Love Island. Please welcome Connor and Mackenzie. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you
guys?
What's
up, guys?
We are extremely cold. Connor, you being a Pittsburgh guy, you can relate. The weather has been awful. It is gray. It is snowy. And I'm staring at Mackenzie, and I'm most jealous about the beautiful trees in the background because you actually get to enjoy sunshine.
Yes, I do. And Arizona doesn't believe in winter. So,
My God, I'm so jealous.
So tell us a little bit of, give us a Cliff's Notes version, if you will, of the concept of Love Island and how you guys came to meet.
Oh, gosh. So Love Island, I would say, is somewhere between like The Bachelor and Survivor. So it's kind of somewhere like that. And like kind of like Big Brother. Basically, five girls come into the house, five guys come into the house. You have to couple up and they will bring more people in as the show goes on. And you can either stay in your couple or leave your couple. But hopefully the ultimate goal is that you couple up with someone that you want to start a relationship with outside the villa. And all the people that come in and all the challenges are meant to test your relationship and see if you stay coupled up. And if you're not in a couple, you get sent home.
It sounds really, really beneficial to trying to create a relationship. We're just throwing you right into the fire.
Yeah.
You have a new person that you're trying to learn and understand. And we're going to throw other people who are extremely attractive and also want to be with you right out of the gate. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
If you don't couple up with someone, then you get sent home and new people come in every few days and stuff. So I guess you got to move fast.
They remind you that there's 100 others like you. So if you leave, there's someone new coming in.
Sounds very good for your self-esteem as well.
Yeah.
Everything that you think makes you great. Well, we've got 5 dozen of you. Awesome.
Well, you guys are still together. So that's got to be, you know, a testament to your relationship.
We didn't stay together in the villa, but yet we are staying together on the outside, which I think is more important. So
How long have you been together now?
If you count, because we coupled up on day one and then we stayed together most of our time on the show. We were only technically like not together for maybe like a week or two of like the whole experience and post villa. So it's coming up on 6 months.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
6 months in a new relationship that was forged on a reality television show, and it's during a pandemic. So obviously you guys, far from conventional. What would you guys credit to allowing your relationship to work to this point?
I mean, I would say just open communication, just making sure, you know, you're always on the same page with everything. You know, it's a big transition coming out, meeting in the circumstances that, you know, we did, and then kind of transitioning to that, you know, into, you know, I guess, real life, the real world. So it's just a little bit, you know, different, you know, adjusting to all that, but just, you know, always just making sure we're always on the same page with how we're feeling and everything like that. And just, you know, always being honest with each other, you know, honest with ourselves. And, you know, I think that's kind of just helped us and has been, you know, an important, you know, pillar and a foundation that's, you know, carried us to, you know, where we're at right now.
It's not very often that you're in a super serious relationship with someone. You don't even have their phone number. Like, so it was definitely like, I mean, we dated in the villa, but we really had to treat it like once we were out of the villa, like it was almost a brand new relationship. And I think that that was the biggest help to us, was not trying to compare ourselves to how we were in the villa and just giving ourselves like a fresh, clean start. Texting and like phone calling, that's a huge part of relationships. That's how you build like the foundation. That's how you communicate, especially long distance.
Right.
So that's been like huge. And one thing the show, I think what Connor was kind of alluding to, is they force you to talk about your feelings all the time. So now like we're very used to talking about our feelings, and that has definitely helped carry into the real world as well.
We've experienced the unusual world that is reality TV in the past, and it's hard to be yourself when there's constantly cameras around, particularly in a budding new relationship. What were some of the biggest misconceptions or misunderstandings you guys had about each other during the show versus now being out from that world?
This is something that's interesting. So one of Connor and I's like biggest fights actually happened on like the second day, because and a day feels like a week in there. And so we were coupled up and we were one of the only couples that was like really into each other from the beginning. And I just had a hard time trusting that he was everything he was packaged to be, because he just seemed to be this like really cute guy, so nice. Like, how is this even possible? Because I've met guys like that who appear to be that way, and then I was always very wrong about how they actually were. So I definitely had a lot of walls up. And there was a situation where, because we weren't able to talk candidly without cameras, I very much like didn't know if I could trust, is this who he really is? And that was something that was really confusing for me at first, was you almost have to just, even if your walls are up and you're like, I don't know if I can trust this person, seems too good to be true, because you can't have those candid conversations, you can't be 100% like yourself because there's cameras around, you just have to take a risk. And that was kind of after that night, that emotional night, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to trust him. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I don't know. What about you, Connor?
It's an adjustment going from onto the show. That's, you know, that's its own an adjustment in and of itself. And then trying to, you know, meet someone that you actually want to fall in love with. It's such a unique, I guess, you know, experience, and trying to, you know, rush, maybe quote unquote rush certain feelings. You kind of just have to trust your instincts and your gut. I would say, you know, if you fall flat on your face, then, you know, that's, I guess, what happens. But, you know, I guess you just have faith and you trust that things work out. And, you know, they did for us.
So where do you guys go from here? Connor, you're in Pittsburgh, Mackenzie, you're in Arizona. I know we're in the middle of a pandemic and things are crazy. Are you guys going to move in together eventually? If so, where? Like, how are you navigating those waters?
I'll be 100% candid. It's definitely like long distance is not always easy. Also, we were just in different time zones too. So that's like another obstacle in itself, is like the time difference. But Connor is in Pittsburgh. That's where he's born and raised, and that's where his job is. And I think for me, it's a bit intimidating, the idea of moving into his life and picking up and moving to Pittsburgh, because I'm very independent. I've moved around my entire life, and I've always been a very like almost like a gypsy soul, like always moving. And it is a bit intimidating, the idea of giving up everything and moving to Pittsburgh, because I don't know anybody there. But I have Connor, which is a lot, which is, a good enough reason to move there. And I think that once the pandemic has sort of sorted itself out a bit more, that's when we'll really start to look at, you know, am I moving there? Like, what's the next steps? But we want to be in the same place. It's just, it's hard.
Girl,
it's,
you are preaching to the choir. We literally went through the same exact thing. I had just bought this beautiful condo in South Florida on the beach. He lived in Pittsburgh. He has three kids. All his friends, family are here. And I'm like, he can't move because he has ties here to Pittsburgh. So I had to pick up my life, move here, didn't know anyone. But I will say it was worth it, you know, to be able to, because we were doing the same thing. We did long distance for about a year and it was just, ugh, miserable.
Leah, how long have you been here for?
A year, just about a year. Okay. So I was here for maybe 2 months before the pandemic.
Yeah, she never even got to experience how the city can be great. Yeah, we got about 2 months in the middle of winter and then the world shut down. So she's living on promises where I keep going, I swear to God, babe, when everything's open, this place is amazing. There's so much to do and there's festivals and there's sports and the weather and the summer's great. And she's like, I've seen nothing but gray and snow.
I'm like, I hate it here. This is miserable.
The inside,
We're not helping your cause, no, Connor, but we can relate.
You guys are setting a good example. If you can make it through this, you can make it through anything, honestly.
And love conquers all, I will say. Cheesy, but it's true. So we wanted to flip the tables here and play a quick little game. It's our Valentine's Day episode. We're going to play with our listeners at home, too. I have a couple questions here. You guys answer if it's Mackenzie or Connor. So you guys let me know. Who made the first move?
I did, because I stepped forward for him. So I consider to have made the first. You have to like step. I don't know if you guys watch it, but you have to step forward for the guy when he comes out if you're interested.
Full disclosure, okay. We tried to do a speed watch this week to try to catch up so we weren't completely blind when we went in here. So we're like, okay, at least we have the gist of the show.
Okay.
Who said I love you first? Or have you said I love you? Who says I love you first?
That was Connor.
I think that's me. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Connor.
I said it when you were leaving.
What was the response in the moment?
Well, he said it at the fire pit in front of everybody. So there wasn't, as I was going home from the show. So there wasn't like they didn't show that part. But I reciprocated and said the same thing privately afterwards. It was a very nice moment.
I too was the first one to disclose those feelings. And I was met with a very Han Solo, Princess Leia. I know.
I said, thank you. Okay, who wears the pants? My God.
I'd say I pick out the pants, but he still wears them.
Okay.
That's a great way to put it.
I like that.
That's very well said. I think I can relate to that.
She picks out a lot of things.
Who is the neediest?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
As far as like between us,
he's going, how do I say this and not get in trouble?
I don't think either of us are really needy, but
I don't think we're that needy. I would say Connor's a little needier than I am.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm a little more of like and I'm very like independent, but
yeah. I can relate to that.
Same. Who is more likely to start an argument?
Oh, me, obviously. Cancer. So he's just like, he's a cancer. Oh, okay. So he's just
water. Go with the flow.
Yeah. And you're not just like go with the flow, but I wouldn't say you would start an argument versus I'm definitely like, let's talk it out. Let's do it.
What's
like,
your sign, Mackenzie?
I'm a Leo. Okay. I'm a double Leo Scorpio. So I've got a lot of fire in me. Okay. Yeah. It's a lot going on.
Oh yeah. Who's more likely to steal the covers?
That's Mackenzie.
Yeah. Every morning wake up. Covers are always, but he gets so hot in the night. I'm just doing you a favor. You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm just giving them to you. Actually,
we've made an accord where I keep most of the covers and she gets 80% of the bed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have my little sliver on a big king size bed. I've got just enough for like both cheeks of my ass to fit on the bed, and then she's
you're welcome.
But I get to keep the comforter. So,
well, there we go. That was our game. So you guys passed.
Okay, there you go.
Do you guys have any magnificent Valentine's Day plans?
Sadly, no.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is what we were talking about before we got you guys on the call. How important is it to each of you individually to celebrate Valentine's Day? I was talking about how, to me, I think it's kind of overrated and just sort of a pitfall trap for guys to get in trouble for not doing well enough.
personally, I feel like Connor and I like to do little gestures and romantic things for each other kind of all the time. Like he'll send me flowers when I'm not expecting it. And I've been known to surprise him a time or two when it was, there was not like an occasion. He's really busy with work right now. He can tell you all about that, but that's why we're not able to be together. And yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like we're sweating it too much. I think we're thinking more about like 6 months is going to be on the 22nd. I think for the us, that's a way bigger deal because that's a big milestone.
Right. Like you pick certain things to celebrate and show romantic gestures. Love that. That's the point I was getting at.
I agree. There's definitely a time and a place. You want to keep romance alive. I'm just saying that February 14th, for some reason, Hallmark decided that was the day where if you do it well, cool. And if you don't, you're in trouble.
I love this emergence of like Galentine's too. Like I love like the friendship love and like the love from everybody else. But sorry, Connor, I can't see your face. It's not showing up on the screen. So I can't see when he's about to talk. What are we about to say, babe?
I feel like guys end up waiting too long until like the night or day of Valentine's Day. And they end up kind of doing it wrong or not, you know, I don't know. I guess they end up not meeting expectations. So, like you said, I think Leo, like, you know, you pick and choose what days you want to, you know, are special for, you know, between the both of you, and you can celebrate, you know, together. So, you know, although we won't be together, I think, you know, we'll be able to, you know, celebrate, you know, the 6 months coming up in a little bit, alternative way, I think.
Yeah, we're planning our next visit too. It's obviously hard with his schedule. And then I have a work trip coming up that I'm going to be COVID tested for. So I can't really risk going anywhere right now. And the off chance that when I'm in the airport, something I pick up. But yeah, I do feel bad for guys on Valentine's Day though. I feel like there's so much pressure, and I think that it really just like does a lot to some guys' heads. And I feel bad about that because I feel like it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Totally. That you should just be nice to your girlfriend all the time.
And then you don't have to worry about Valentine's Day. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, we can check in with me next week and see if my Valentine's Day plans were a complete colossal failure or if I somehow pulled out a last second save. And I like to say I gave myself a little more time than like the immediate 24 hours. I planned slightly ahead, but
there you go.
Pandemic kind of limits options as far as, you know, what you can do. And
well, we'll have to plan something when you guys are both in Pittsburgh. We can all go on a double date or something.
That would COVID's be so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. When the weather warms up and the world gets a little bit more back to normal and we can go out and be social, there's some great restaurants and places to hang out here in Pittsburgh. Connor, I'm trying, man. I'm trying my hardest to put the cell on for you.
It's like this, like sounds starting to sound like an advertisement for Pittsburgh.
This podcast is now sponsored by the Pittsburgh Tourism Board. got to monetize it somehow. Before we let you guys go, we always talk on our show about the three most important things to our relationship are honesty, communication, and sex. To you guys, is there something you can add to that list? We ask everybody that comes on as a guest if they have an addition, some sort of tenet that really gets you guys through.
I would say a sense of humor. You've kind of got to laugh about stuff. And if you're not, especially for me, if I'm not laughing anymore, then that's a problem.
I love that.
I would say a sense of humor. Have fun still. You should always have fun. If you're 90 or if you're 19, doesn't matter.
Lightheartedness and not taking anything too seriously, you know, sweeping everything under the rug and, you know, always looking for times to, you know, smile and laugh with each other, you know, are always important. So that's,
I love that. I feel like we need to put that on our list.
Yeah. I think that might be a permanent addition. We need like a whiteboard where we can just add things every time somebody throws a new one. Everybody's got a good one.
So, that's a great idea.
Always looking for the love bursts. So
there you go.
Keep you smiling.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Thank you guys so much. This was great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Keep in touch with us. If you need us to help continue to sell Mackenzie on the greatest city in the Northeast, at least, we will do our best and maybe we can hang out one of these days.
Sounds good. It was so great to meet you guys. Thank you so much for having us. Guys,
happy Valentine's Day. Good luck.
Guys.
Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, guys. Happy Valentine's Day. Take care.
That was fun.
That was fun.
They were pretty great.
We have a new couple to hang out with.
Hopefully,
Hopefully they feel the same about us.
I am now focusing all of my attention on convincing her to move to Pittsburgh.
So they can be happy.
Well, at least so he can be happy and she can deal with
it. And then I have someone to commiserate with. And we can talk about how much, you know, how miserable we are and how much we hate living in the cold and the dark tundra that is Pittsburgh.
Me and Connor can just sit around and be really handsome, nice dudes.
So that went well.
I
feel better
it.
About the Valentine's Day.
I do. I
we talked feel, to them about it.
I feel like they get me better than you do.
Babe, I get you. You just get so fucking worked up.
I'm passionate.
Yeah, but like, it's not that serious. You gotta like chill out a little
bit. Well, we'll see when Monday comes. Monday night, after all is said and done. If you
Babe, all I want is a Lunchable. That's it. I want a Lunchable and a picnic blanket with some flowers and candles.
Well, then I'm screwed because I'm not doing any of that.
Then what are we doing?
I'm trying to sign
Give me
off.
A hint.
No.
Give me a hint.
No, I'm not giving you any hints.
We don't have time for questions this week. Can we do one question?
Do you have one question readily available?
Yes, I do.
We have one. We have time for one
Here's
question.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my little tail. When it comes, I want a whale. Mail. On the topic of Valentine's Day, here we go. Question. The only question.
Good. I was gonna correct
Number
you.
Number one.
Self-corrected. Well done.
Honey. I just started dating my best friend of 12 years back in September. I have no idea what to do for her on Valentine's Day. Please help.
Well, as an admitted substandard, subpar Valentine's Day performer, I would just say
I want to know what happened to you in the past on Valentine's
Nothing.
Day.
Nothing. I don't have any aversion to Valentine's Day because I don't have any bad experience.
It seems like you hate
No,
Valentine's
I don't
Day.
Hate it. I just think it's stupid. I think this. I think of Valentine's Day the same reason I think St. Patrick's Day is stupid. It's an excuse for everybody who doesn't know how to conduct themselves to go out getting wasted. Guess what? I'll get wasted the other 364 days a year and avoid St. Patrick's Day.
But I want to get chocolate wasted.
I was trying to give advice.
Okay, so let's give the advice.
Here's your
12
advice.
12 years of the best friend.
12 years, you should have a pretty good clue as to what makes her tick. But ask. And I think this is what should be normalized across the board for Valentine's Day, for Christmas, for birthdays, for anniversaries. Just fucking ask. Not everything has to be a surprise. And more often than not, when you go into business for yourself and go, hey, I'm planning this amazing surprise night, something is not going to go as planned and it's just going to lead to a disaster. So ask. Say, hey, babe, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day? And she may go, oh, I want to go to dinner and a movie. Cool. So do that. Or I may want to have Lunchables on a picnic blanket on the floor of your house, which if that's the case, don't do that because no one actually wants it, even Leah.
I do. I would not mind that. It's just about the romance. It's not about big grand gestures. That's not what it's about. And I feel like you're making it seem like I've gotten mad at you over expectations
No.
I've never ever, like last year on Valentine's Day, I think we went to dinner like the week before because we were working. Like it's not a big deal to like... It's not a big deal. I don't know why you're making it seem like I've like whipped you because you didn't do something the right way. But that's not the case, you guys.
You told me I'm not allowed to talk about that in public.
Oh, right. Forgot about that. Yeah, honestly, with your friend, your new girlfriend, just do something sweet. And it doesn't have to be a grand gesture. Do something nice. Get her flowers. Maybe cook dinner if it's something that she normally does. Just something sweet and little. And I want you to write in and let us know what you did and how she liked it. Because I want to know the results.
And if you fail, we will help you find a new partner.
Yes, because f*** your friend if she doesn't appreciate what you did for her.
I'm going to clip that and play it back for you next week when we come back after... My Valentine's Day experiment, which I do not have high.
I cannot wait for Valentine's Day to be over now.
Me neither.
Hey, wait a minute. I forgot something.
What?
We forgot to tell everyone to like, subscribe, review, follow, tweet, post, share. You know the deal. We need some love, you guys. Let us know how much you love or hate us.
Throw the love our way. If you can rate it, throw us 5 stars. Leave comments. We read them. We like them. You make us feel way better about ourselves. Follow us at Bear With Us Pod on Twitter, on Instagram. And as always, if you want to send your questions to the Bear With Us mailbag, bearwithuspod@gmail.com. Goodbye forever.
Bear with us. I'm a frequent flyer. Pancake probably flies more miles than you, Darlene.